Welcome back to the Bitcoin Layer. This is Joe Consorti. So earlier today, we got news out of the Trump campaign that he's reportedly exploring Bitcoin to address the U.S. national debt problem. Of course, we have $34.5 trillion in debt. And according to this tweet, Donald Trump has reportedly inquired about leveraging Bitcoin to solve the U.S. national debt issue. And this comes from David Bailey, who's a CEO of Bitcoin Magazine and a cryptocurrency advisor for the Trump campaign. Bitcoin Magazine is currently advising Trump on formulating a Bitcoin-friendly and cryptocurrency-friendly policy. Now, this comes after last week at the Libertarian Convention, where Trump said very openly that he'd be protecting the right to self-custody for all Bitcoin and crypto users across the United States, the 60 million plus of them. And for those who are new to the Bitcoin layer, I only put crypto in quotation marks because we don't view it as a legitimate asset class. This is a Bitcoin-only media and research firm. And so we'll take a look at what Trump said in just 1 second. We'll really unpack the feasibility of this all and the trendiness of all of this, frankly, of not just countries, but corporations adding Bitcoin to their balance sheet in order to insulate themselves from the seemingly runaway and never-ending problem of the U.S. fiscal and monetary problem. But before we get into it, we want to give a special thanks to our friends over at River. River is the sponsor of the Bitcoin Layer. You can invest in Bitcoin with confidence over at river.com. They have a best-in-class user experience where you can buy Bitcoin with zero fees on recurring orders, and you can have peace of mind thanks to their proprietary multi-sig cold storage solution for all Bitcoin that you buy with them. You can withdraw it at any time. And if you need help with anything, they have US-based phone support for all clients. And very recently, they launched a new program called RiverLink, which allows you to send Bitcoin over a text message that can be claimed to any wallet. You can give a gift, pay a friend for dinner, you can orange pill your friends, and it's totally hassle-free. You guys, I use River when I buy Bitcoin, and I think that you should too. They have the best user experience from what I have seen. They're really changing the game, and you can invest in Bitcoin with confidence today. You can visit river.com/TBL and earn up to $100 when you buy your first Bitcoin. All right, so moving things back to what we were discussing, which is Donald Trump talking about protecting the right to self-custody for all Bitcoin and cryptocurrency users in the United States. Here's what he had to say last Thursday at the Libertarian Convention. Take a listen.
Crusade to crush crypto. We're going to stop it. I will ensure that the future of crypto and the future of Bitcoin will be made in the USA, not driven overseas. I will support the right to self-custody to the nation's 50 million crypto holders. I say this with your vote. I will keep Elizabeth Warren and her goons away from your Bitcoin. And I will never allow the creation of a central bank digital currency.
So I want to stress that this is not a political channel whatsoever. We provide markets commentary, and part of our job is looking at things like the election cycle, because they do matter. And in this case, it is becoming a Bitcoin election. I've talked about this on my own personal Twitter, and we've talked about this at the Bitcoin Layer before. So if you aren't already subscribed to this YouTube channel, make sure that you are and turn on the post notifications and take a look at our Substack too. But again, this is not a political channel. We're not picking sides. But the Republicans have clearly delineated themselves as the pro-crypto party, especially compared to the Democrats, where for years now you've had people like Elizabeth Warren from my own home state of Massachusetts who've lambasted crypto, called it, you know, money laundering garbage, and said that she wants to crack down on it. She's famous for saying that she's building an anti-crypto army. And so it's a stark contrast to what the Republicans have begun doing, particularly the leading candidate and the Republican nominee, Donald Trump, who is avowedly pro-crypto, particularly in the last couple of weeks. He came out at a speech at Mar-a-Lago and said that if we want Bitcoin companies to stay in the United States, then we have to create the best policy worldwide, the best regulatory framework for them to stay here. And so not only is the Republican candidate interested in fostering a superior environment for Bitcoin companies, but also for Bitcoin users and holders. He talked about self-custody. Topics like this were inconceivable just a few years ago, but now they're at the forefront of the election in the world's foremost economic powerhouse, the United States. We're talking about self-custody, and he's saying that he will not let Elizabeth Warren and her goons, more broadly the Democratic Party, who is very avowedly anti-crypto, to put their hands on your Bitcoin, the words that he said. And so what we saw today, right, is that he's exploring Bitcoin reportedly to address the U.S. national debt is just more cannon fodder for this idea that Bitcoin really isn't going away anytime soon. It's being legitimized as an asset in real time, obviously being monetized past a $1.1, $1.2, $1.3 trillion asset. So the market is clearly ascribing more monetary premium to this asset. But now, the former leader of the free world and someone who is leading the polls could very well be the leader of the free world again, is talking about buying Bitcoin, the world's leading economic powerhouse, the biggest sovereign, buying Bitcoin to address the U.S. national debt problem. Well, just how big is this problem? Well, if you're a longtime reader of the Bitcoin layer, you know that this is something we've had our eye on, which is that the runaway fiscal situation really isn't slowing down. We're spending like we're in the middle of a crisis, but we're not. We added $3 trillion to the U.S. national debt in just 11 months, moving up from $31.4 trillion to $34.5 trillion, with really no sign of slowing down. You only borrow like this if obviously you have funding needs, like we're in a war, but we're not involved in a hot war. We're funding wars, which frankly, you know, people are debating whether or not we should be doing that, but that's a massive expense. It doesn't necessarily directly help the American people, and they feel it in their wallets too. This certainly contributes, this amount of public spending, this huge accumulation of debt in the public sector really does end up hitting people's wallets, and they're feeling it. Obviously, the monetary side of things with the Fed printing so much money and what it did over the course of 2020, 21, and 22, that hits people's wallets too with price inflation. But this is part of the equation that not a lot of people talk about, but we've been harping on it for quite some time. So the reason we're spending money like we're in a crisis, but we're not in one, is because debt is becoming less productive. What do I mean by this? Well, this is the debt to GDP ratio. Another way of interpreting this chart is how many units of debt does it take for one unit of economic output. So GDP is measured by economic output, as measured by economic output, not is, here in the United States. Previously, in decades prior, all throughout the 90s, we only needed about half of a unit of debt for every single unit of economic output. Throughout the 2010s, after all of the bailout measures in 2008, that rose to 100%. So in other words, for every unit of economic output, we needed one unit of debt. And this is US Treasury debt. So we're talking about federal government debt. And now, following 2020, following all the measures we took there, all of these stimulus and bailout measures there, we have 121.6% debt to GDP, which means 1.2 units of federal debt are required for every unit of economic output, which means that over time, debt is becoming less productive in order to maintain the same level of economic productivity. And so we have to issue more debt in order to sustain 2% quarterly GDP growth. This means that this will continue increasing through time. The ways that we solve this are by becoming more austere and inducing a big recession and letting the private sector sustain itself more and allowing the public sector, the United States federal government, to step out of the picture a little bit more. But that would make us less desirable on the world stage. Not to mention, the current interest expense annually is now $1.1 trillion, and it's set to hit $1.5, if not $1.7 trillion by the end of the year. So we really need to keep borrowing if we're going to pay back interest on the debt we've already issued. So we're kind of at the point of no return here in terms of where the debt picture is headed. So in other words, this line isn't going back down. And so it's no wonder why people who are seeking election, right, Mr. Donald Trump, are talking about this problem and potential ways to solve it. And exploring Bitcoin is one of the avenues of doing so, albeit a very niche avenue, but certainly one that other companies have explored. Earlier this year, Metaplanet, a company in Japan, saw its stock absolutely soar when it announced that it would be adding Bitcoin to its corporate treasury. Earlier today, Semler Scientific, announced that it would be buying 581 Bitcoin for $40 million, and its stock price is up 42% on the day. And so companies are buying Bitcoin in order to insulate themselves from the monetary and fiscal mess that the United States has put itself in. And now the former leader of the free world and the man who could very well be the next leader of the free world, if the polls right now stay through till November, is talking about doing the same thing, but at the federal level. Now, one other chart here, and I'll actually bring that up a little bit later, we'll go to this, which is not many people know this, but the United States already does own Bitcoin. It already owns some 213,246 Bitcoin at an unknown cost basis. We do not know the price at which these Bitcoin were acquired. However, the U.S. already does own Bitcoin, but this would be the first time that it would be purchasing Bitcoin. I assume that that would be the strategy that Donald Trump would want to go down when it comes to adopting a Bitcoin policy, which is certainly very interesting. We've seen smaller countries. The only other major country that has been doing so, and I say major, it's a small Central American country that has been actively allocating Bitcoin, is El Salvador. It's constantly adding Bitcoin to its holdings. It's buying new Bitcoin every single day. Currently, it has 5,751 Bitcoin. And this would play into Trump's stated aim of making the United States the best place for Bitcoin companies to stay and thrive. Because owning Bitcoin on your balance sheet, you would want to make sure that your country has the best resources for these companies to thrive here. If you own something, you have an incentive for its development to thrive and prosper. And so putting Bitcoin on the United States balance sheet would be a flag in the ground, per se, right? To, you know, evoke the Apollo 11 mission, putting the American flag on the moon, a flag in the ground, a stake in the stake in the ground, saying that the United States is really serious about making a serious run at having superior Bitcoin policy. Now, this would also be a departure from what we've been doing over the last several years, which has essentially been allowing price inflation to run hotter than U.S. Treasury rates in order to burn down the value of the United States debt. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, I'll actually switch back the board over here, and I'll pull up the chart of our federal debt. So this is the pile of debt that we have. Now, I want you to imagine, like, you owe, let's say you owe a friend a big bag of candy, okay? Imagine that the U.S. owes a lot of money, which we do, $34.5 trillion of outstanding U.S. Treasury debt. It's just like you owe someone a big bag of candy, okay? Now, when prices go up, right, so we have inflation, every single dollar becomes less valuable, right? When we have a persistent 2% year-over-year price inflation, which is much more, then every dollar becomes less valuable. And when people lend money to the United States, obviously they're buying bonds, lending money to the United States, they earn a little extra money over time. If prices rise faster than the interest on these bonds, i.e. U.S. price inflation has been at 3.5% and U.S. Treasury rates, U.S. Treasury yields are lower than that, then the money that the United States has to pay back is less and less and less. And this makes the debt easier to handle because the United States is paying with cheaper dollars. It's just like paying back candy that isn't worth as much anymore. I suppose the candy analogy wasn't very good, but what I mean to say is that the strategy that the United States has adopted for handling this debt situation is actually one of not handling it at all, but rather passing the buck onto United States citizens and U.S. dollar holders by allowing price inflation to run hotter than the level of nominal yields in the United States economy. This strategy to allocate to Bitcoin would be a complete 180 in an attempt to actually paying down this debt rather than allowing it to run hot. Allowing price inflation to run hot and erode the real value of the money that the United States government has to pay back. And this would kind of be a hedge of the runaway U.S. fiscal problem from inside the United States fiscal sphere. The United States, rather than individuals allocating to Bitcoin to insulate themselves from this whole mess, which is kind of the entire reason that Bitcoin exists, we'd now be doing it from the inside of the United States itself. The United States government itself, which is a huge seismic shift. So I hope that analogy helped explain it a little bit better. But basically, it's just a 180 from the strategy of eroding the value of the U.S. dollar so we could easily pay back our debt to allocating to assets that appreciate in the face of all of this price inflation so that we could actually pay down the value of this debt instead of allowing the value of dollars to grow cheaper over time, stealing from citizens. This would be a total 180 and not a return to austerity per se, not a return to spending less, but kind of a check on the whole system from within. And I have a couple more charts to show you. This is the current composition of the United States assets. And so if we were to buy the top panel is U.S. reserve assets held in the Treasury General account, you could see that we currently own some $243 billion in gold, $168 billion in special drawing rights, and $30.5 billion in the, that's $243 billion in total assets, rather, and none of which is Bitcoin. You'll see the biggest hard money asset that we own is gold, and that's been completely stable for years and years and years now. We haven't added to our gold reserve, which is in stark contrast to countries like China and Russia that have been allocating away from U.S. treasuries as their reserve asset and buying gold. And so this would be a move away from owning U.S. treasuries as our main asset. As you could see, the Fed currently, and the Fed is in the bottom panel, they currently own a completely insane amount of U.S. treasury securities, and they buy more and more. Obviously, that has decreased somewhat, but they still own a great deal of treasuries and other government debt. And a movement towards buying hard money of our own, but buying the hard money of the future, not gold, but Bitcoin. And so it would be a tacit admission on the United States' part that U.S. treasuries aren't as valuable as they once were, which might not be a good idea, but it would certainly be, we would be the first major G6, G7, G10, G20 nation that would be allocating to a hard money that isn't gold. It would be a tacit admission that fiat currencies are going the way of the dodo, right? They're dying, which might not be great as a country that issues the world's largest and most liquid fiat currency, the U.S. dollar. But it would be a major step in the direction of insulating the United States from further devaluation and, you know, helping out with this debt problem, even just at the margin, even just introducing a small check on that whole system. And so the last piece that I have for you today is that David Bailey, the man who is behind advising Trump on using Bitcoin as a solution to the debt problem, says that he's currently in negotiations to run this treasury strategy, right? The MicroStrategy MetaPlanet playbook in two more foreign capital markets. And so this is with other companies, right? We're talking about capital markets, not public sector. And this strategy is going to take off globally is what he says. And we're seeing this strategy take off globally now. He mentioned MicroStrategy and MetaPlanet. I mentioned Semler Scientific, which today announced the exact same thing. And you could bet the snowball to continue rolling downhill in terms of companies continue to allocate. And now, even if it's just at the margin, even if it's just a speechwriter saying it, the fact that it was said indicates that it is being considered for a country as large as the United States, which would be huge. So that's everything for today's video. Massive update. I hope you got a lot of value from it. If you did, make sure that you subscribe to the Bitcoin Layer so you don't miss when we upload a new video. Of course, turn on post notifications as well. Share this video with friends and family. And that's everything for today's video. One last thing before we go, a special thanks again to our friends over at River. River is our Bitcoin exchange of choice. You can invest in Bitcoin with confidence, knowing that everything you buy with River is held in one-to-one, fully reserved cold storage custody. And you can have peace of mind because of that. You could withdraw at any time. And if you need any help, they have US-based phone support for all clients. And you could also orange pill your friends and family very easily with River Link. You could send Bitcoin via a text message that can be claimed to any wallet. You can give a gift, pay a friend for dinner, orange pill your friends completely hassle-free. And if you'd like to use our special offer code, you can go to river.com/TBL to get up to $100 when you sign up and buy Bitcoin. So that's everything for today's video. Once again, thanks so much for watching all the way to the end. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe, and hit the post notification bell so you don't miss when we upload a new video. That's all for today, everyone. Take it easy.